But our first stop today is Mali to meet a very brave man called Abdelkader Haidara. Just how brave he is became clear 5 years ago when militants, some of them allied to Al-Qaeda, seized control of northern Mali, including the city of Timbuktu. That's where Abdel lives with his family and his collection of rare and precious books. The Islamists took an extreme view of what is haram, forbidden, and Abdel feared that they would destroy his library and with it an important record of Mali's history. But before we hear about what he did, let's get some backstory so you know why he risked so much for it. It was Abdel's father who had started the collection.
My dad was a sort of genius and intellectual. He was a writer and also acted as a qadi, or Islamic judge. He comes from a family where everyone was a writer. His cousins, parents, everyone. He collected manuscripts. I'm my father's son. And from a very young age, I could see the respect he had for books. So that's where I got it, from my dad.
Was there a particular book that entranced you as a child?
There was one book that really touched me when I was young. It was a book that was about human rights. It was written by an African author called Usman Dan Fodio. He was from Nigeria and wrote in classic Arabic. What I liked about the book was that it started with a child in its mother's belly. And then when she gave birth to the child, the book talked about the child's rights and then went on to talk about women's rights and eventually, more generally, about human rights. So this book really touched me, and I'm trying to translate it now into other languages.
Your father died in 1981 when you were 17, I believe, and the director of the institute where he worked asked you to take over his role as head collector when you were just 17. How keen were you to take on that position?
When I was very young, I didn't really want to get involved with the library. I wanted to spend time with the other young people, which is quite normal. For me, working with manuscripts meant working with old people in old dusty houses. I would have much rather stayed with my friends so I could go out, go dancing, and have fun with them. But after my father died, I changed my mind. I was at a crossroads in my life, and the path I chose was an intellectual, scholarly one, working with manuscripts.
Mm. What did your friends say when you decided to stop going dancing with them and hang out with manuscripts instead?
I think my friends used to think I was crazy to spend all the time reading, traveling, and just immersed in a world of ancient books.
Some teased him that he even smelled of books. Abdel didn't pay any attention. All he cared about was adding to the collection.
I travelled far and wide throughout Mali. I went to the big towns and small, remote villages. I even travelled into the Sahara. I went to great lengths to get my hands on the manuscripts.
He found that many people were reluctant to hand over their old manuscripts, which were getting damp and damaged. So he offered cash and goats, built mosques and schools in return.
Sometimes I failed, sometimes I succeeded. I had to make people aware of the importance of the content of these books and why it was so important to preserve them. Manuscripts for us are our patrimony. They are our identity. This is who we are.
Over 10 years, he built up a collection of tens of thousands.
The oldest manuscript I have is from the 11th century, and that one is about jurisprudence. It's very old. The other manuscripts go from then all the way on to the middle of the 20th century. They cover all types of subjects and areas, from religion, philosophy, Sufism, medicine, astrology, astronomy, literature, correspondence, letters, documents from the slavery business about gold exchanges, politics, all kinds of things. Before March 2012, we'd collected many manuscripts and we started to classify them. We opened the libraries and then, all of a sudden, it all stopped.
20 years of West African democracy going up in smoke. This is Bamako, the capital of Mali. Government troops have mutinied here, overthrowing the president.
In 2012, Islamists and other armed groups were making a push for territory, and in March, they arrived in Abdel's hometown.
Our lives suddenly changed overnight. It was very upsetting. I didn't know what to do. There was a chaos everywhere, and I told myself I needed to do something. I had to find a solution, but I was scared. I was frightened about what might happen to my family. I was frightened about what might happen to me. Would we be killed? So everything changed.
And for your books, why were you so worried about your books?
I was scared because in town, it was just chaos everywhere. In the offices, paperwork had been thrown out, scattered all over the place. So I was worried about the manuscripts. I knew that they were in great danger because they were very, very delicate and very fragile. All I knew was we were at war. And in that situation, the manuscripts and ourselves would be the victims.
In the case of the manuscripts of Timbuktu, they represent a tolerant, learned form of Islam, which was open to a number of different currents of thought and of piety. And for those with a narrower interpretation of the tradition, these would have been seen as a threat, or they would have been demonized as objects which required destruction.
This is Father Columbus Stewart, a Benedictine monk who was to help Abdel protect the manuscripts. He's from the Hill Museum and Manuscript Library in the United States, an organization committed to preserving culture around the world. And he was keeping an eye on what was happening in Mali.
Holy places, which were long respected and venerated by the people of Timbuktu, were particular targets of destruction, along with manuscripts. And it's the destruction of the physical heritage which attracted the interest of the international community.
And they would get involved when they could. But for the moment, it was Abdel who would have to act, and fast. He started buying up metal boxes.
We didn't have any money at the time, but I was receiving a fund from a foundation to go and learn English in England. So I spoke to these people and I asked if I could use the money to buy those boxes, and they gave me a check.
So Abdel and his helpers bought up all the metal boxes in the markets of Timbuktu.
We collected about 2,400 boxes of different sizes. There were small boxes, there were big boxes, there were very, very tiny boxes. The manuscripts were kept in cardboard or wooden crates, or sometimes they were just piled up on the floor. So before we could transport them, we needed to protect them.
So having packed them all up, how did you get them out to safe places?
So for Timbuktu, once we had found enough metal boxes, we could send them to various families to keep them safe. For other towns, it was sometimes more complicated. We used cars or horses and carts to transport them. Sometimes they had to be put on boats on the river. We all risked our lives. There's no bigger risk. It was just a very difficult time. There was chaos, insecurity, a political coup. So you were constantly between life and death.
If people had known that he was transporting enormous quantities of manuscripts, there could have been several potential risks. There could have been those who regarded them as an attractive target to be taken so that they could be sold on the black market. There might have been those who would have regarded this as an opportunity to extort a large bribe. They could also, of course, have attracted the attention of those who would have wanted to destroy them, which made the manuscripts and, of course, those who were taking them out, including Dr. Hydera, potential targets.
The boxes attracted unwelcome attention from government forces looking for weapons. Couriers were detained and grilled by militants. It was reported that one boatload of books was held for ransom. As a result of your efforts, how many manuscripts do you think were saved?
Well, we started an inventory and it counted every single item. We reached a total of 377,000 manuscripts.
Wow. Did you lose any manuscripts during that time?
The day before the extremists left the town, they went to the Ahmed Babu Institute, and yes, they burned around 4,200 and perhaps more manuscripts. So those books were burned or lost.
Father Columba Stewart arrived in Mali in 2013 after French troops had pushed out the Islamists. He went to see the surviving manuscripts and was astonished by what he saw.
Typically, they would be an apartment in an anonymous housing block somewhere in the outskirts of the capital. Might be a lower floor of a house. And we would enter one of these apartments or one of these rooms, and we would see stacks and stacks of dozens of these large metal cases, each one full of manuscripts. One of those rooms might contain 50, 60 of these boxes, each one of them containing several hundred items. And when you realize that there were several of these depots around Bamako, one begins to understand the magnitude of these collections. Some of the manuscripts that we found depict lizards, and some of them are medical treatises, which are about how you would treat a bite if you were injured by an insect or a rodent or a reptile. And they might decorate the page with an image of that nefarious agent.
Father Columba and Abdul are now starting to digitize some of the manuscripts, many of which are in poor condition, so they can be read by future generations, something Abdul is passionate about.
Today we want to show the world that in Africa we have also a written culture and history. Many people have talked about the fact that we mainly had oral traditions, but this is wrong, and these documents show our rich history. The manuscripts are written in the Arabic language, but also other African languages. We just want to show that we existed, and we existed maybe before others.
It's been said of you that you care for the books as for your children. Is that a fair comment?
That's true, yes, because our books are just like our life. They are our history, and we consider them as being as important as our children. We love them just like our children.
Dr. Abdul Kader Haidara, speaking to me through an interpreter from Mali. We also heard from Father Columba Stewart.